Let's start reading in Matthew 8, 23 through 27. And tonight is part two of when Jesus gets in your boat is not to impress you, but to bless you. And it says here, out of the New Living Translation, Matthew 8, 23 through 27. Then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly, a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, "Lord, save us! We are going to drown." Jesus responded, "Why are you afraid? You have so little faith." Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves. And suddenly, there was a great calm. The disciples were amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked. Even the winds and the waves obeyed him. And I want to say something before we continue is that the first point that we learn is that we need to, or we can go to sleep during a storm. And I want to say this, before you learn to speak to the storm, you need to learn to sleep during the storm. I can say it this way too. Before you speak, you need to sleep. And you know, as babies, humans, we first learn how to sleep. That's why babies sleep all day. And then we learn to speak. And I think we as Christians, we need to learn how to rest in the Lord. And before we start declaring and decreeing, we need to learn how to rest in the Lord. So last Sunday, we said that there's two things that you can do during a storm. And one, you can go to sleep like Jesus did. He was sleeping when there was a great storm. And then he said, "Why are you afraid?" Jesus expects his followers not to be afraid. He expects us to be brave. He expects his followers not to be afraid. And we learn that faith is a matter of trust before it's a matter of obedience. I know faith has an action, but before we act upon the word of God, we need to learn how to rest in the Lord, how to trust in the Lord. Faith is trust before it works. So the question tonight is to rest or not to rest? That is the question. To rest or not to rest? And let's read another scripture in Hebrews 3, verse 14 to 19. Because I think we can learn a lot here in these verses. And I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, Hebrews 3. Verses 4 through 19, and it says, "For if we are faithful to the end, if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ." Remember what it says, "Today when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts, as Israel did when they rebelled." And who was it who rebelled against God, even though they heard his voice? Wasn't it the people Moses led out of Egypt? And who made God angry for 40 years? And who made God angry for 40 years? Wasn't it the people who sinned, whose corpses laid in the wilderness, and to whom was God speaking when he took an oath that they will never enter his rest? Wasn't it the people who disobeyed him? So we see that because of their unbelief, they were not able to enter his rest. Why couldn't they enter the rest of the Lord? because of their unbelief. Unbelief is hearing a truth and then rejecting that truth. That's unbelief. Unbelief is not ignorance. Some people don't believe because they're ignorant of the word of God. But that's not unbelief. Unbelief has a rejection factor in it. When somebody is an unbeliever, it means that they heard the truth, but they didn't accept it. And these people that these verses are talking about is that they heard the voice of the Lord, but they didn't believe it. That's why they are called, that's why it says that they rebelled against God. And they couldn't enter the rest, into rest. Now, faith, or the fight of faith, is first a fight to enter into his rest. On Sunday, I did the illustration with a chair that you need to rest in the Lord. And why? Because the first thing that we learn from Jesus is that he was sleeping during a storm. He wasn't fasting or praying. He was resting. He was sleeping. And it was a great storm. It wasn't just a little rain. It was something really, it was a great storm, says the Bible. So the first thing you need to do when you're fighting the good fight of faith, it's to fight to enter into his rest, to believe his promises, to believe in his faithfulness. God is faithful to do what he said that he will do. Now, I want to say this to the brothers and sisters here at Redeeming Love. This is the word of the Lord for this church. This church is called Redeeming Love. And Jesus is Redeeming Love. Amen. God has redeemed you from sickness and disease. God has redeemed you from poverty and lack. God has redeemed you from depression and oppression. God has redeemed you from fear and anxiety. God has redeemed you from works and from the curse of the law. Jesus is redeeming love yesterday, today, and forever. And this is the house of the Lord. Redeeming love. This house, this church, it is the house of redeeming love. So every time you come to church, every time you come to this building, to this place, to his church, you will experience his redeeming love. Amen. Hallelujah. Because Jesus is redeeming love. Yesterday, today, and forever. Now, there's two things that you can do during a storm. First, you can go to sleep. Number two, let's read again Matthew 8:26. And let's see the second thing that you can do during a storm. And it says here in verse 26, Jesus responded, "Why are you afraid? You have so little faith." Then he got up. "Why are you afraid? You have so little faith." Then he got up. Obviously, Jesus was not sleeping standing up. I know some of us can do it. I have done it. I can fall asleep standing up. But I think Jesus wasn't standing up because it says that then he got up. So what I'm seeing here is that when Jesus said, "Why are you afraid? You have so little faith," it means Jesus was lying down when he said these two phrases. He was sleeping. He's lying down and he's like, "Why Are you afraid? You have so little faith. And I was talking to my son about these verses, and he is like, maybe he was still waking up when he said it. Maybe he said it in a different voice. Maybe he said it this way. Why are you so afraid? You have so little faith. Because he was trying to wake up. And then the Bible says, then he got up. This is amazing. I don't know if you're seeing what I'm seeing. And I'm praying that you can get revelation from this. Then he got up and he rebuked the wind and the waves. That's why we have to learn how to go to sleep during a storm. It means that, you know, everything was bad, the winds, the waves, and he was sleeping. And then he was awakened by his disciples. And then he said it, why are you afraid? And then he said, you have so little faith. And then he got up. And it says here, then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. Now, there are times in life when you need to get up. Amen? There are times in life when you need to get up. No more sleeping. When Jesus got up, what did he do? What was the first thing he did? He wasn't lying anymore. And then he said something to the winds and the waves. When he got up, he didn't start praying fervently. You know, he didn't start begging God to do something about the storm. Just imagine for a moment. The disciples go to Jesus and say, hey, Jesus, what are you doing sleeping? Because they were afraid. And just imagine Jesus getting up and saying, oh, Lord, what is going on? How come you guys took so long to wake me up? And then he will look to heaven and say, oh, Lord, help us, Lord. Where are you? Lord, where are you? Help us. He didn't beg the Lord to do something. He did something, but he didn't beg the Father to do something. The Bible says that he rebuked the wind and the waves. Many times in the Bible, when Jesus deals with situations, with difficult situations, with maybe disease or sickness, we don't see Jesus praying. We don't see Jesus fasting. I know he prayed a lot. I know he fasted. But when it comes to dealing with the storms of life, he did something different. He did something different. And you can read it in the scriptures. You can learn from the master himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. That night, in the boat, first he was sleeping during the storm. And then, when he was awake, Jesus got up and spoke to the winds and the waves. He didn't pray. He didn't beg God to do something. He actually rebuked the winds and the waves. We can actually rebuke the winds and the waves. I know that we sometimes rebuke people. And maybe that's something that we usually do, but Jesus rebuked the wind and the waves. This means that we can rebuke things or situations. Now the question is, can the wind hear? Can the waves hear? And the answer is yes, obviously. Because Jesus talked to the winds and the waves. That's what we learned from him. Let's read the verses again, 26 and 27. It says, Jesus rebuked the wind and the waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. The disciples were amazed. Who is this man? They asked. Even the winds and the waves obey him. It is amazing what Jesus did in this situation. But let me tell you something. There is something even greater than what he did in this situation. Now, we as Christians, we are the body of Christ. And the most amazing thing is now we have the authority in Jesus' name to do the same thing. We can also rebuke the winds and the waves. We can do the same thing that he did that night. The same power that was available that night for Jesus is available to you and is available to me today. Matthew 9:8 says, when Jesus was doing miracles and the people, they were amazed, he said, or the Bible says, fear swept through the crowd as they saw this happen, and they praised God for giving humans such authority. So in the second point, there's two things that you can do during a storm. First, you can go to sleep. And second, you can rebuke the storm. But we said that before you learn how to rebuke the storm, you have to learn how to go to sleep. Because going to sleep means that you trust in the Lord, that you believe in his faithfulness, that you are going to be calm because you know he's in your side. As great is he that it lives in us, that him that is in the world. And he says here that the people praise God for giving humans such authority. There are people praying and fasting when they should be rebuking. There are Christians praying and fasting when they should be rebuking. And there are people rebuking when they should be sleeping. I'm going to say it again. There are people rebuking when they should be sleeping or resting. We have the power to speak to the problems. We have the power to rebuke the storms in life. We have the power to rebuke sickness. We have the power to rebuke symptoms. Remember when Jesus rebuked Peter's mother-in-law? I know that sometimes we want to rebuke our mother-in-law, but it is better to rebuke the fever, because that way we don't get in trouble. But he rebuked the fever, and the fever left her body, and she was fine. Now, why I keep saying that we need to learn how to go to sleep? Because that's the first part. There's a lot of people, there are a lot of people that are rebuking and they're putting their effort for the storm to be calm, but they are not trusting the Lord. They're not trusting in the Lord. It's not only declaring the word of God that gets the job done. You have to believe with all your heart. You have to trust the Lord in your spirit. Like I said on Sunday, you have to sit down and trust that the Lord is on your side. When we declare the word of God, you know, when we declare and decree, we are not doing it because we want God to do something. When we declare the word of the Lord, it's because we know He already has done something. Amen. We declare the word of God, not because we want God to do something, but because we know He has already done something for us. He already has won a victory for us. Amen. Now, let me tell you a testimony. When I became a Christian more than 20 years ago, I used to have asthma. And I remember how the Lord healed me from asthma. But around 5 years ago, the symptoms came back. And I remember it was around 5 years ago, I started to feel the symptoms and I couldn't breathe normally. And I remember one night I was trying to go to sleep and I couldn't go to sleep because I was having difficult breathing. I couldn't breathe. I was, you know, if there's people that probably know what asthma is and it's a horrible thing to feel. And I remember that I got up and I went to the living room. And I opened my computer and I said, let me Google what can you do during an asthma attack. But I was a teacher in Rema Bible School in Mexico. And I used to teach Christ the Healer for more than 15 years. And I will tell the students that they should know more about their Bible than their problem. And I will tell them that if you know more about your problem than your Bible, you're going to be in trouble. Because, you know, there's people that know more about their disease or their sickness more than the Bible. There's people that go into Google and check all the symptoms and they know exactly at what time the pain is going to come back. And you know, they do all these things. And so that night, I was about to go into my computer, and I started to write, what can you do during an asthma attack? And when I was doing it, when I was typing, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and He said, are you going to do what you tell your students not to do? Because I will tell my students, before you Google your sickness and your disease and your symptoms, you have to know your Bible. You should know more about the Bible than your problems. And that night, I was typing to Google, what can I do during this situation? And the Holy Spirit told me, are you going to do what you tell your students not to do? And there were silence for a moment. And obviously, I was having trouble breathing. You know, I was so I was trying to type and trying to breathe. And then the Holy Spirit was telling me, are you going to do what you tell your students not to do? And I was, and I said, no, I'm going to do what I know what to do. I'm going to open my Bible. So I closed my computer, and I opened my Bible. And you know what? Maybe that's a word for somebody tonight, that you should close your computer and open your Bible. Because you should know more about your Bible than your problem. Because if you know more about your problem than your Bible, you're going to be in trouble. You should know more about your Bible than your problem. And I remember that I got up. I was there in my living room. I was sitting down when I started typing. And I couldn't breathe. I was having trouble breathing. So I got up. I closed my computer. And I started rebuking the asthma and the symptoms. And I even started punching my chest. Now, I'm not saying that you should be doing this, like punch yourself, but that's what I started doing. And I started saying, in the name of Jesus, I am healed. Lungs, you are healed. And I started declaring the word of the Lord. And you know what? The power of the Lord came into that living room. And after a few seconds of declaring the word of the Lord, I started feeling better. I was able to breathe better. And I said, wow, I feel much better. And I went to sleep. And I went back to my room, to my bedroom, and I went to sleep. And this is what we should be doing. When there's people that should be rebuking and not sleeping. But sometimes people are sleeping when they should be rebuking or rebuking when they should be sleeping. Now, the question that maybe somebody is asking themselves right now is, okay, Pastor Enrique, but how can I know what I should be doing right now? Okay. The first thing that you should be doing is sleeping during the storm. You have to learn. Why I keep saying this? Because I know many Christians, they think they know how to rest. But all I see is that they're trying to get the Lord's attention with works, with declaring, in decreeing. It's not declaring healing 10,000 times a day that is going to get you healing. It's trusting in the Lord that He already has healed you more than 2,000 years ago. So the first thing you should be doing is resting. And it doesn't matter what's going on. I was speaking to a person this week, 2 days ago, and she wrote to me and said, well, she's my mother-in-law. I can say it, I think. And she wrote me and said, I just woke up. It was 10 a.m. in the morning. And I know her. She's a workaholic. She loves to work. And she told me, because she was here on Sunday, and she said, I took seriously your message, and I went to sleep. And this is the first time, she told me, in my life that I woke up at 10 a.m. in the morning. Because she's usually up at 6 a.m. And she was feeling great. And that's what I'm talking about. You need to learn how to rest. Because we know a lot of confession and declaring, and that's good. But we need to learn how to rest. What was the first thing that Jesus was doing during the storm? He was sleeping. Now, why are we, how come we can rebuke the storms? Because we have power in the name of Jesus. Jesus gave us His authority. We have power in the name of Jesus. That night when I started rebuking asthma and I started speaking to my lungs, and then I felt better and I was able to go back to sleep. Because trust me, an asthma attack is just horrible. You feel that you are dying because you are not able to breathe. But I was able to declare the word in the middle of the storm. In Jesus' name, I'm healed. And I'm telling you right now, maybe there's somebody that is listening to me right now. You need to get up and start declaring the word of the Lord. You need to get up and start rebuking those symptoms and start speaking to your lungs or your kidneys or your liver. I don't know what's, maybe there's a situation with your body. You have to start declaring that you have the mind of Christ, that you are free from fear and anxiety. Because you have the power in the name of Jesus. You have authority in the name of Jesus. You have authority and power to rebuke sickness and disease. And that's a great news, that we have the power and we have the authority. But because if we need these two things, we need the power and the authority. Because maybe somebody can have the authority, but they don't have the power. But in Jesus' name, we have the power and we have the authority. So we can declare right now, in Jesus' name, we can declare that I have power. Maybe if you're watching right now, you can declare with me, in the name of Jesus, I have power and authority. In the name of Jesus, I have been authorized to speak to the mountain, and it shall obey me. I have been given authority in the name of Jesus to speak to the storms, and they shall be still. I have been given authority to rebuke sickness and disease. I have authority over every demon, every evil spirit, to cast them out of my life in the name of Jesus. Amen. You can do it. You can rebuke situations, sickness, disease, depression, oppression. Why? Because we have the power in the name of Jesus. Amen? So when Jesus gets in your boat, he's not there to impress you, but to bless you. And the first thing that you should do during a storm is that you can go to sleep. Because when you go to sleep, you're telling the Lord, Lord, I trust in you. I trust in your faithfulness. I'm not going to worry because you are on my side. But I know that there is sometimes that you need to get up and you need to rebuke the storm. You need to rebuke the winds and the waves. There are times when you have to speak to the mountain. But don't forget, the first thing you need to learn is to rest, to trust in the Lord. Amen. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being with us during this live streaming. And I just want to do this last thing. Maybe there's somebody watching right now and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know, one day everyone is going to leave this earth. One day we will die, physically speaking. And the question is, are you ready for that day? I know that it could be in years. I'm not saying that you're going to die tomorrow, but we never know. But there's a word in the Bible, in Romans 10, 9 and 10, because we need to be ready for that day. And I want to read this word, because 2,000 years ago, more than 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came to this earth to save the world. He came to save sinners like you and me. He came with that purpose. He went to the cross to die for us. And God raised him from the dead to save us. And the word of God says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says here from the NIV, He says, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. To be saved is to put your trust in the Lord and then confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. So let's do this. I'm going to lead you into a prayer. And if you are watching right now and you are not a Christian, you are not saved, or you don't know if you are saved or not, that is okay. You can do this prayer with your whole heart and trust that God is going to come into your room, into your heart, and he is going to show you his salvation through Christ Jesus. So let's pray, then you can repeat this prayer after me. Jesus, I confess you as my Lord and Savior today. Come into my heart. I believe God raised you from the dead so I can be saved. I give you my heart. I give you my life and everything that I am. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for accepting me into the family of God. In Jesus' name, amen. If this is the first time that you're doing this prayer, you can write us a comment there in the streaming, or you can let us know. There is some information that you can read there, and you can contact us at Redeeming Love Christian Center. Thank you, everyone. Have a happy new year, 2021.